Mind the Music Biz, a Raised Rowdy podcast hosted by Peyton Heben.
Guys, welcome to episode 26 of Behind the Music Biz, a Raised Rowdy podcast. I'm your host, Peyton Heben. Today's episode, we're joined by a road dog that I had mentioned in my episode with Brennan Cato. He is the tour manager for Lakeview, a rock band that is popping off here in the Nashville music scene, and they're touring all over the country. Please welcome Wyatt Carmichael.
Good to be here, man. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks for coming on, dude.
Of course. Absolutely.
How are things going for you?
It's good, man. We are just now gearing up for, got a long month and a half tour ahead of us. Drive up for rehearsals in Pittsburgh this week, so getting ready for that. Just had a show in Nashville. I'm sure hopefully some of our listeners came out too. So
yeah, what's that like? Like playing a show where you're like kind of working in front of all your peers and friends.
Oh, dude, it's good. It's good to have all the friends out. I guess one of the big obstacles is, well, also my friends are there. All the boys' friends are there. So there's a lot of people that expect to be all access. So bringing people in and out, make sure everyone's taken care of. And the show still goes on, because obviously you still want to put out the product that is advertised. So, but taking that into account, but also making people feel appreciated, that, because honestly, we wouldn't be here without a lot of those people that came to the show. So
100%.
Definitely making them feel welcome as they make us feel welcome.
Yeah, it's super cool to see what Lakeview's doing right now, because, like, especially just being in the Raised Rowdy circle, as you know, Lakeview's been a big part of their their thing, like the Butt Rock Nights and all that. But just seeing how much they've grown, crazy.
It's been insane. And yeah, I've been there. There's been, always joke about it with the boys, is, I mean, I've been at shows where I started off selling merch and just driving for them, kind of just being a buddy, but there's been shows where I was the only one in the room, and then now to have shows like we just had in Nashville where there's 350 plus people just packed out. So it's been crazy.
Before we dive into like your story with Lakeview and what you've been doing,
yeah,
what, like, kind of how did you grow up, and like what was the music scene for you like as you were growing up and whatnot?
Yeah, man. So honestly, the music world wasn't something that I thought I'd work in professionally until, God, it was probably right before COVID is when everything happened. I thought growing up I wanted to work in sports. So originally from Indiana, we have a big amphitheater out there, but I grew up going to shows. Out there was a big Kenny Chesney, Old Dominion, Jason Aldean, Florida Georgia Line, all of them. But yeah, through college I wanted to work in sports. Had a good sports program. I went to Ball State. Nice. Up in Muncie, Indiana. So went up there and was fortunate enough to get an internship with the Indianapolis Colts right out of college. So went and did that. And then having that on my resume, I applied for the Cleveland Browns. Didn't think that I'd ever want to go out to Cleveland or work for the Browns, but big Browns fan now. But went out there, and while I was out there, my boss wasn't a huge country fan, and I was trying to get him into it. So a guy by the name of Phil Moore, it's kind of like pop country, I was coming to play up there. And one night we were drunk at a bar, and my boss DM'd him on Twitter. I was like, hey, man, we work for the Browns. You're going to be here on a show, or your show is on a game day. If you want to come out to a game, we could definitely hook that up. And got his manager's info and gave it to me and said, run with it. Gave me a little budget. So I brought his label rep, his manager, band, and the head of the radio station that's out there. Brought him out to the game and had jerseys made for him, and they did a T-shirt toss for us. And their manager, I guess, was blown away by that, brought us all out to the show and brought me back on the bus. Was like, hey, I owe you one. Like, if you ever want to come down to Nashville and see my side of things, you obviously understand the business of the entertainment business. So brought me down to Nashville, and that's kind of where my love for it. That was back in, I think it was February of 2020, maybe. He was kicking off his tour with Lauryn Hill at the time. But nice. Came down here right before COVID and fell in love with it. And then obviously COVID kind of screwed everything up for a little bit, but that's definitely where the love for it started. But yeah, I just started off as a fan going to concerts, and once I realized that there's jobs in it that you don't necessarily have to go to school for, you can kind of just learn it as you go.
100%.
I was like, this is definitely something I want to pursue.
It's all experience, and 100%. Who you know, like, you learned it firsthand. Everyone says, God, who you know, you made a connection, and then it just changed your life.
Exactly.
What'd you major in at Ball State?
sport administration.
Okay.
Yeah, and then minored in marketing. So it definitely helped. But yeah. And honestly, I think if anything, having that on my resume and then kind of like having that as a talking point when I first moved here, trying to get people to take me serious, they hear sports and they're like, oh, this kind of plays into it.
So, yeah.
Definitely give me a chance.
So. I mean, you learn how to deal with people.
Yeah.
Like
managing people and yeah. different personalities and stuff like exactly. that. 100%.
Especially when you're working around like athletes, actors, musicians, there's not mm-hmm. a huge difference because at the end of the day, like they're all at a higher level on like for their platform.
Exactly.
So you're just having to like navigate and work around those people.
There's definitely egos sometimes. Yep. Luckily, everyone I've worked with has been the most down to earth people. I've been very, very fortunate. You hear horror stories all the time. I'm sure you've heard them mm-hmm. doing this podcast, but no, I've been very fortunate with both management people and artists themselves. Working with them has been definitely good for me.
Where'd you go to high school at?
Noblesville.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So actually where the big amphitheater is in Indianapolis is right down the street from my old high school. Yeah, so.
Is that the TCU? What was it? What's that called? It was like White Water or something like that?
It was Deer Creek, and then it was Verizon. You're Ruoff. Talking about that. And now it's Ruoff. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
It changes it almost every year. So.
So my girlfriend's from Westfield.
Oh, no shit. Yeah. That's, right down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she went to...
What year did she graduate?
She was homeschooled. Okay. She went to some smaller school there, private school, I think. Okay. I think it's in Westfield.
Maybe.
But
There's a bunch of little private ones too, but...
But yeah,
dude, that's right down the road. That's crazy.
Because I'm obviously very familiar with the Indianapolis area, like the Carmels, the Westfields, Noblesville.
Mm-hmm.
So like I get an idea of what the music scene was like, and country it really isn't a huge thing there. So kind of how did you grow into that? Obviously Noblesville has the venue, so like the big artists that come through everyone goes to it. But
dude, honestly, family kind of just what we listened to in the car and stuff like that. I was big country growing up. Parents would definitely push that, but then I also remembered riding around with my dad, and he'd play the big three. I always tell people is Nickelback, Creed, and Stained is what I was kind of raised on. So definitely that alternative rock world was definitely big for me too, which I think kind of plays into why I like the Lakeview sound. But then I was doing what was I working putting in irrigation systems right before college, and those guys would only listen to country, so that kind of got me right back into it in about 2015, and then I've been a country guy ever since. But have had the chance to tour on some rock tours and one coming up. So I'm definitely starting to feel that itch for that alternative, the butt rock, if you will, is definitely coming back.
It is really coming back.
Yeah.
So when you got to Nashville, so I guess walk me through that move from like, so you met the guy, with Phil Moore.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of allowed you to make that transition where you came to town, there was job opportunities.
Yeah. So I met him, and then I was gearing up, just looking for any chance to move down here. And then COVID happened, so that put everything on hold. And I was still living out at Cleveland at the time, but that pushed me back to go back to Indy. And I started doing landscaping. And so that's kind of how I found the Lakeview Boys, is I stumbled upon them, started liking their music, and looked them up on Instagram and realized that they were doing the exact same thing I was doing. They were funding their music by doing landscape work. So I actually sent them a DM. I have a long, embarrassing six-paragraph DM about kind of my background. Oh, yeah. I'm like, hey, dude, I'll work for free. Sell merch, drive free, whatever you guys want to do. And they were fired back and were like, hey, whenever you're in town, like, let's meet. Came down a few times. It just never worked out schedule-wise for us to meet. So I just needed another excuse to move down here. I was actually still working at the landscaping, and we had a snowstorm coming. And my buddies had asked me to go snowboarding that night instead of, working, because we had to shovel snow and threw a salt, and I didn't think anything of it and got fired the next day. And then within a month I had a job offer. I was applying to anything in Nashville, and worked at Enterprise Rent-A-Car. So nice. Moved down here and did that, which actually was a blessing in disguise, because I would use that. I'd end up working at the airport, and as artists or managers would fly in, if I recognized them, I'd be like, oh, I'll take this one, walk into their car and be like, hey, I'm going to take a day off, I'm going to upgrade you, just have coffee with me, or give me your number so I can reach out to you and ask questions. So met a bunch of really cool artists and managers doing that, and then also helped like the Lakeview guys and other bands get cheaper rentals. So luckily, what did we go from there? Then I was at, I guess, back up, we were doing I'd work 6 days a week, and we'd go, it was like 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then every night I'd go to Live Oak or any round that was going on. And again, buy artists or managers beers and be like, hey, let's just talk. Give me a time of day. And met enough people that way that went out and was selling merch for, I think it started with Lakeview, but then got an offer to go out with Wheeler Walker Jr.
Oh, nice.
So,
dude.
Yeah, we'll drop him out. went out, sold merch for him, did that a couple times. And from there, I just told Enterprise, hey, I'm going to be out on the road for a little while. I'll be back in like August. I'll reach out to you guys. We can like see what we want to do from there. And they were hurting at the time. A lot of people quit. And so they're like, yeah, do what you got to do. Like, let us know when you're back. And I just never came back. They called and I just never picked up the phone. Worked for the band Seaforth for a little bit. Did their headline tour at the beginning of 2023.
As of what?
TM. Okay. TM, and then I oversaw merch, but we just had merch sellers come out there. But yeah, TM that one. And then, and actually their old TM at the time, his name's Matt Woodson. I kind of owe everything I have to him. He's actually Lakeview's manager now. He was just coming off the road with Ernest when I was finishing up with Seaforth, and Josh Ross, his day-to-day called and was like, hey, we need a TM. He's like, well, I can see if my buddy wants to do it, if he wants, because it was for the Nickelback tour, so it was going to be 4 months straight.
Oh, so that was your first time?
That was my first
time.
With
Josh Ross?
Yeah, so I met him. So I'd gotten it cleared with Matt to take over Seaforth for the last, I think we had like 7 or 8 more shows that year or that summer with him. So, yeah, I met with Josh, had a brief like 15-minute meeting. He's like, let's do it. Meet you out in Canada. So did my last show with Seaforth, flew out to Canada and started a 4-month insane run with Nickelback and Brantley Gilbert.
Yeah, that was no joke.
Yeah.
It was a hell of a show, by the way. I went to the Bridgestone show.
The Nashville one. That one was even brought out all the stars and that was
a good show. Did you get to meet all those
guys? I did not, no. No, they were, I try to keep to myself. I'm like, if it happens, it happens. But getting to walk past some of the people that, again, back at Ruoff that I pay however much to go see every year, it was pretty cool to just see them in passing. But got pretty close with Brantley and his crew. I mean, fantastic. They are top tier.
Dude, incredible.
In the industry.
Brantley's
and then
so good.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Puts on a hell of a show. Mm-hmm. And then Nickelback, again, can't say enough good things about them. Bradley Kynes, their TM, unbelievable. Learned a ton from him. So, did that. And then had a couple one-offs at the end of the year with Josh. And then we started last year with his own headline tour all across Canada. And then went straight into the Bailey Zimmerman tour. Which again, fantastic, and it's cool. They're under the same management, so it was like having the whole family there at all those shows. So that was cool. And then into May, I came off the road for a little bit, just needed a breather. Had been going nonstop since before I had even met Josh, but for over a year or so, came off the road and went out with the Lakeview boys, and they're like, "Hey, dude, if you got a big tour coming up, if you ever want to come back, we'd love to have you." So gearing up for we got Breaking Benjamin, Stained, and Daughtry. We're doing a I think 24 show tour with them starting next Tuesday, actually week from today. So looking forward to that, man.
Yeah, it's exciting, dude. Congrats.
Busy. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
So it sounds like you just jumped like straight into being a tour manager with no prior experience in the touring realm.
Yeah.
Really? Other than like the selling the merch. But tour managing is completely different because you're having like, if something goes wrong, you know, I talked to Brennan about this. He had a very similar situation where it sounds like most people do, where they don't have experience in the touring realm or like any type of production.
Mm-hmm.
So if something goes wrong, you're kind of having to like figure it out and know those things. And so what was your process for learning?
Sink or swim.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it started with, again, I did the merch thing, which I think is a big thing. And I still have people that move to town that kind of hear my story and they're like, hey, how do I get into this? I'm like, merch is the quickest way to get in. Everyone needs a merch guy. And honestly, that's the easiest thing to pick up on. So, but started with that, and then you just start. I mean, I'm a big ask questions. There's no stupid questions. Anything. I mean, yeah. I just any question I had, I would just fire away and always be ready to learn. I mean, I've done obviously a couple big tours. I've only been doing this for 2 years, so by no means do I even know half of the business. But just being always ready to learn, and I've again been lucky under guys like Corey Robertson. He's Brantley's TM. Learned a lot from him. Spending that much time with them, and then Bradley Kynes with Nickelback, and then again Matt Woodson, the guy that got me into this, he's TM'd a ton of big artists. But you kind of just you pick up on a lot of things as you go, but you kind of see how a show goes, and you start the biggest thing for a TM is you need to like plan for the worst or be able to anticipate stuff before it happens. And that's what, especially as a merch guy, when you're not expected to do that stuff, it's very low pressure, and you can take the time to be like, okay, I see something down the line that we might need to think about, and then bring it up to your TM. Yeah, man, there's no course that you need to take for this. I think you need that hands-on experience. I've always been a hands-on learner. So, if anyone's trying to get into this position, I'd say take any position you can to get on the road, even if it's driving or photography or any realm of, there's no job that's too small for this, because eventually you're going to be a TM for an artist that can't afford to have a ton of people around him. And then you're going to be doing every little task as well. Because
there are a lot of people that don't have, they can afford a tour manager, but they can't afford the production manager. They can't afford like the front of house.
Exactly.
So it's like you're having to wear all the hats.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, so advance the shows, but then also like make sure sound and like all the in-ear stuff.
Yeah. It's just, which is one thing. So I, again, having no music background, I don't know anything about production. And I still, I used to joke that I don't even know how to hold a guitar, or I have to look at it, tell if it's a guitar or a bass. It's like my knowledge of the production side is so low, but dude, just being willing to learn or ask questions, I mean, it goes a long way. Or just bring it to them. Be there and be like, hey, let me get whatever you need out. You tell me what you need. But again, always being willing to learn is definitely key. But yeah, that's definitely one area I need to get better at, is the whole production side and learning all that. But
well, I think every tour manager that I've had on, and I mean, I've had Brennan and then Bo Griego from Corey Kent's camp.
Yeah.
I mean, even Churro, when he was out with he was a production manager with Morgan Wallen. But like, they had no real like they didn't really know what they were doing at first. It's kind of just like, it's sink or swim.
We're all faking it till we make it.
Yeah. And but there's no way to, I guess, like study tour management.
Yeah.
Like, it's all just
gotta get out there,
because no textbook is going to be able to teach you how to fix something if it goes wrong.
Exactly.
Because there's anything could go wrong.
Dude, a lot of it's just, being able to think quick on your feet. And honestly, there's a lot of pressure at a show, because especially going in as a TM or a PM, it's like everyone's looking to you. You're the one running it. Obviously, you got the artist there, but the artist needs to only think about the show itself. So, there's a lot of pressure to it. But again, just having the confidence in that you know what you're doing and that you've prepared well for it. A lot of it goes into the advance. If you advance a show really well, there's still going to be stuff that comes up, but you're definitely going to, you'll be able to focus more on that, because everything else you know is going to follow the plan. So, it's just be thinking quick on your feet. And then if you mess up, which everyone's going to mess up, it's learning from it. There's been plenty of times where stuff's gone wrong and it's like, fuck, I wish I would have done something different there, but then you're just ready for it the next time it comes around. So,
what are some of the biggest mistakes that you've had, that you've faced on the road as a tour manager, that you kind of were like, oh, like I need to fix this, or like it freaked you out in the moment because you're like, I have no idea what to do right now?
There's two that stand out. One was early on with the Lakeview Boys, before I'd even call myself a TM. I was just doing merch and, you know, hanging out with the guys. But I was standing side stage and our drummer's snare broke. And he's just looking at me. He's like, I got nothing. And it was like maybe two or three songs in. And we're at this show in the middle out in Idaho, and we didn't know the opener. It was just a local opener. And I was like, dude, he's like, figure it out. And I'm like, all right. Cause I mean, he got through that song, but I could tell like, you know, next song coming up, we got to get it fixed. So, I actually looked across the lot. You could see the parking lot and see the opening drummer was putting his stuff in his car. So I ran around the back of the venue out to him like, hey, I need your snare. And no questions asked, just gave it to me, took off, brought it up to him before the next song even changed. I just had the opener snare in his lap. He's like, oh, shit. So that one was pretty cool. And then it was actually on the Bailey tour. We hadn't advanced. I had given all of our needs to Bailey's production manager, but they had a personnel switch in the middle of the tour. And we got to a show in Texas, and there was no mic stands, cables, anything that we needed for our set at load-in. I was like, oh, shit. So we just got in touch with the guy that worked at the venue. I'm like, hey, I need to know who your backline company is. We need to give him a call. So I got my drummer, who was also our production manager, on the phone with him. And we luckily had them ship some stuff over. And the venue took care of everything because they felt bad about it. But it was kind of that oh, shit moment when you show up and there is nothing there for you. And it's like, oh, God. So, but that's definitely made me think, you know, in future stuff, even if it's a massive tour and you got people that are, because usually with the bigger tours, you advance with like the headliner, and then they'll advance with the venue, so the venue's not getting hit by everybody.
Yeah.
And now I'm like reaching out, making sure, hey, you sure you got everything down to, you know, cables and
you kind of learn your own system.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's 100%. Important. Like, yeah. No matter what you're doing in the business, just kind of learning from somebody, but taking like different things from everybody and creating your own system.
Every show you do, you're going to take something from, and everybody you work with, whether it be good or bad, it's like, I'm not going to do what that guy just did, or you know. But yeah, dude, there's no way to be over prepared is what I've learned. So even when I think I'm prepared, I try to tell myself I'm not, because there's always something else that could be done. So
I think for a lot of young people in the industry, no matter what you want to do. So I'm going to use my brother as an example. My brother is 20. He just moved to Nashville like 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago. He's going to be playing baseball at Belmont, but he wants to be in the music business. So he's studying music business.
Yeah.
He just has no idea what he wants to do. So one of my artists, Hayes, he went and opened down in Sanford, Florida for Ella Langley.
Yeah.
And my brother was going, he was playing JUCO ball down at Daytona State.
Yeah.
So I was like, dude, you should go to this show, because like, you know, Hayes, and just like shadow Chase Butler, who is was Ella's TM at the time.
He's with Riley now.
Yeah.
I love Chase. He's another good one.
He's awesome.
Yep. He's great.
But I texted Chase. I was like, hey, dude, would it be cool if my brother came and like shadowed you? And he was like, oh, hell yeah, dude. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So my brother went and just like watched and learned what he did, and had my brother help him like carry stuff in for Ella's load in, and my brother just like loved it. He was like, "Oh, dude, like when I get out, I'm gonna be a tour manager."
Yep.
And I was like, "Yeah, dude, for sure, whatever you want."
Dude, that's sweet.
But my point is, I think a lot of young people should, or most want to, like get out on the road before they figure out what they want to do in the industry, whether that's selling merch, tour managing, like experiencing it while you're young.
Yeah.
Because there will come a time, and on my episode with Churro, it was my very first episode ever, we talked about how he was on the road for a very long time, and the Dangerous Tour was long with Morgan Wallen, and then he kind of got to a point where he just wanted to be home with family.
Yeah.
So now he got into the management thing.
Yeah.
So my point is, like, I think a lot of young people should get into touring and be on the road and experience it and just learn from there, because you'll learn so much and you'll make so many big connections that could advance your career if you want to just be in publishing or label side of things. And
dude,
I just kind of want to see where you're...
Dude, tour while you're young, especially if you don't have anything holding you back.
Yeah.
It's definitely, once you start mixing in, you know, family, you get a wife or husband or whatever, it's definitely going to be harder for you to, you know, go on these bigger tours and be out on the road that long. So definitely being on the road early is definitely something I'd recommend. I also, so my end goal or what I think my end goal right now is, I've learned that changes all the time. Mm-hmm. But I moved to town wanting to be an artist manager. I didn't want to tour my whole life. But before I became a manager and sent somebody out to do the tour management, I wanted to do it so I could tell them from experience. I don't ever want to tell someone to do something that I'm not willing to do or haven't done myself. So I gave myself like a 5-year plan of, I'm going to go out tour manage for this time, get all the experience, and then, see how that translates into doing management stuff. So, I'm at 2 years now. After some of those long tours, I'm like, maybe I'll do 3 years and then switch over. But, dude, I don't know. You'll learn pretty quick if the road is for you.
Yeah.
And, dude, I love it. I love being out there. It sucks being away from home, and you miss a lot of holidays, birthdays, weddings, stuff like that. But yeah, there's definitely perks to it when you're not in an office, and your office every day is a green room somewhere or a different venue, different arena, something like that. I always think that's cool, and I love telling people what my job is and giving them a rundown of what I do. So but yeah, dude, I think being young and able to do this is definitely something that if you're on the fence or you want to take your want to get into this industry but don't know what you want to do, I'd say start with the road and knock out as much as you can early on.
For me, that was something I was interested in, because I thought, like, I would say that the live show is probably my favorite part of the entire industry.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I love pretty much every aspect of it, but the live show for me is just what makes me fall in love with the music.
Oh yeah.
And
makes it all worth it.
Yeah. So I like spent time out on the road with some people.
Yeah.
And it was like, I couldn't do it. I loved being at the show. Mm-hmm. I loved like the perks of everything and the networking and just watching the live show happen.
Yeah.
But just the travel, like I couldn't be out on the road like that. Dude, and I learned quick.
It wears on you. Yeah.
I learned quick about myself when it came to that. So it was like kind of a wake up call for me where, all right, you need to kind of figure something else out. And that's like, I decided to stay with artist management rather than like, cause I had offers to like go sell merch. I had offers to tour manage and I was like, no,
you're good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's another key is knowing what you want out of things. Like, There was a point this past year that, I mean, I was dealing with some serious burnout. That's actually when I made the switch over from Josh. I mean, Josh is a workhorse. And God, I was with him for a year and we did, I'd have to look, but I'd say we anywhere from 125 to 150 shows. I mean, this dude doesn't miss a weekend. So, but yeah, dude, you just got to listen to yourself. And if it's not for you, you got to, you know, come to terms with that, realize that, but understand that there's so many other avenues in this mm-hmm. industry that can work for you, and you can still get to see those live shows and be a part of the big stuff. So, yeah, I think it's cool that you're a good example of that, where you can go out there and test it out, but it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
And there are times where I feel like it's not for me, but then, obviously there's times where, you know, you get on the high, there's highs and lows to it, and you can ride the highs, ride the lows. But,
so what are you passionate about with the touring aspects of it?
I just like being as close as I can to it. I have no music ability. I'll never, you know, be the one on stage, but being side stage to me is just as cool. And then also working with, you get to know your artists very well. I've been very lucky to work with basically just my best friends. There's some gigs where you go out there and you're a hired gun and you're just there because the guy needs somebody and you have that talent or that skill to fill that spot. But especially with the Lakeview Boys, it's like, they're my best friends before anything else. So when we got on the road, it's like, I'm hanging with the homies.
Right.
So, that definitely makes it easier, but I could also see if you're out there and it's not with your guy or mm-hmm. with your people, then, it does start to feel like a job. And the second it starts feeling like a job, I want to get to a point where it's not a job and it's, you know, it's just a paid hobby. And that's what tour management a lot of the time feels like to me. So, been very, very blessed with some of the people I've worked with.
Can you explain for the people listening that may know what tour management is, don't know how to get into it, or like they don't necessarily know what being a tour manager entails? Can you just kind of explain what you do and what that title is?
So, I mean, I'd say the best way to describe it is typically it starts with the agency will send me a contract or I'll get a list of dates along with the contracts. And contract comes with how much you're going to get paid, what a merch split's going to look like, how much the venue's going to take, the date of the show, and then the person to contact. And so I have a template email that I send out, but you just email out email the contact for each venue, and it answers questions for what time can we load in, what time can we sound check, what time are doors, what time do we need to be out of the venue, is there going to be catering, is there a green room, showers, are towels going to be provided, stuff like that. So that's the initial advance, and then from there you start planning your travel. So are we going to do Sprinter and trailer, we can do a bus and trailer, is it a fly date? So I have to book all the travel for it. You're basically become a logistics manager at that point. And then looking for, is the venue going to pay for hotels? That's usually, or the show going to pay for hotels? That's usually in your deal memo. And then if not, you got to book hotels, or are you on a bus? You got to get your driver a hotel. So pretty much for me, tour management is anything that goes into making the show happen that doesn't involve production. Now, there is some roles, especially early on, if they can't afford to have like a production manager front of house, then you're also doing that. You're advancing the production. But luckily, I've had a couple, or all my gigs have had a production manager as well. So I can just loop them in and they'll cover all the audio needs, stuff like that. But everything from hospitality to logistics to lodging to travel is usually under my
hat. Are you dealing with any budgeting?
Yeah, so and I kind of got into that more with Josh at the end of last year when he was swapping between business managers. But it was taking all of the guarantees and then taking out the, because labels get a split and mm-hmm. Agencies get a split, managers get a split. So taking that out, seeing what you're actually going to make from shows, and then basing your travel off of that. So making sure, see if you're going to come out in the green and the red. But trying to get as much of the green as you can.
Yeah,
so
that's what I was wondering, if business management handled that, where they're like, here's how much you have to spend on hotels, here's how much you have to spend on like flights if you're flying, or like gas.
Yeah, typically you'll come up with the rough numbers yourself, send it over, and they'll kind of fill in stuff you missed or tell you if you did a good job at it. But yeah, I'm usually pretty good about every week or two on the road, I'll send a road report over just to show them what we made, what we spent, and then they'll tell me, hey, you're going a little high on lodging or going a little high on food, stuff like that. So, but that's one thing for me anyway, and I'm sure a lot of tour managers would agree that business manager can be your best friend if you work together on it. Mm-hmm. Usually they're the one to tell you to stop spending, which is kind of hard, but definitely someone that you want to work hand in hand with to make sure that you're the most efficient tour, especially with the up and coming artists that aren't making the right. big bucks that you see some of these other guys making.
When you were on the Bailey tour, yep. Josh had a bus, but did he have a semi?
No. Okay. No, so we just had a bus. And I think the only thing that they did help us out with merch. They would carry our merch from show to show on their trailer typically.
Okay.
But yeah, everything else just fit on our, we didn't have a ton of stuff, luckily, but yeah, everything was on our bus and trailer. So,
because I know Bailey traveled with a couple of semis,
he had
I think
two or three. Yeah.
And I know, like, I've seen a bunch of artists like Parker McCollum travels with a bunch of semi trucks.
Some of these headliners get some big.
I was wondering who makes those calls. Is that like a you call?
I would assume that is under production. Usually, okay. that's the production manager that handles all of that. But the buses and getting the crew around is typically, it depends, because I mean, I know some tours, like, again, you'll be working so close with your production manager that it's like you guys will figure out what each person's going to be overseeing. But the way I understand it, or how I would do it, is I'll take care of our crew and getting our crew where we need to go. But production gear, stuff like that, would typically be under a production manager.
So is Lakeview, are they bus or trailer or
we're getting
sprinter?
Close to a bus right now. Yeah, the boys own their own sprinter and trailer for this tour with Breaking Bend, since it's, I think we're out for 50 some odd days. It's like 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a bandwagon. So
yeah,
it's sweet. Kind of, yeah, between sprinter and bus. If people that don't know a bandwagon, it's kind of like a bus, but a little rougher.
So is that like you organizing that?
Yeah.
Are you?
So I reached out, and luckily I work really close with, again, Matt Woodson, their manager, and he's been a TM for years, so learned everything from him. So we've been working really close together, especially with this tour, which has been great. So it's like having two TMs, the price of one. But I gave him a couple leads, and we found a bandwagon that worked for us. So yeah, man, it's gonna be sweet. It's gonna be luxury compared to what we normally do. There used to be 8 or 9 of us packed into a little church van, and it didn't have AC for the longest time. Jeez. So this is gonna be sweet.
It has bunks in the bandwagon.
Yeah, yep. So it's got, I think it's got eight bunks plus one for the driver in the cab.
Nice.
And our driver has done. He's like a metalhead too. So the boy, I don't know if you guys know the Lakeview background, but they grew up in metalcore bands. And our driver,
never guessed.
Yeah, yeah. And our driver is doing the same thing when he's not on the road. So he's, I'm like, hey, if you're cool with it, we're just going to be sleeping in the cab. And he's like, figured. So it's going to be sweet. It's going to be a little bit, it's going to be like glamorous camping, glamping, I think is what they call that. So it's gonna be fun. The boys are all excited. It's our first big tour like this together. So we'll see what happens, but I think we're gonna surprise some folks.
What was, I want to go back to like you talking about the, like your experience in the sports world. I know it has nothing to do with music, mm-hmm. but I am just curious, like, what were your aspirations in the sports world? Like, what did you want to do with these NFL teams?
So I did, when I was at Ball State, I was doing marketing. So honestly, I went into the events, marketing events. So I was dealing with like all fan front facing events. So anything that fans were invited to, there was some private stuff, but a lot of it was like, with the Colts, I was big into training camp. So we have like an open, they have like this big sports complex in Westfield.
Yeah, Grand Park.
Grand Park, yeah. So I was helping plan and then put on all of those practices that were open to the fans. So I was doing the kid section of it. And then when I went to the Browns, I was a little more hands-on. And they have, it's called Dog Pound Drive. It's out on, right outside the stadium. And we bring out sponsors, food trucks, inflatables, anything you can think of. And it's just like a giant tailgate. And so I was booking vendors, booking, we had like a fencing that went around it. So booking all that. So dealing with different vendors and stuff like that has definitely been something that's helped translate over. And then I was also the head intern over, I think I had 10 or 15 game day interns that I was in charge of. So learning how to manage different personalities and stuff like that's been something that's definitely helped me translate over here. But yeah, just understanding that marketing, everything, it's, I mean, it was so stupid, but with the Browns, they would hammer us. We'd be putting up banners for training camp, and they would hammer us if the zip ties weren't all aligned the same way. Mm-hmm. And it was like that attention to detail that, hey, just make sure the zip ties are all facing the same way and clipped. But I mean, I feel like that kind of stuff, that attention to detail holds true to
that's what I was about to
everything
ask
in the
you.
Music industry.
You just answered my question. I was going to say, how do you think what you learned from doing that transferred over to what you do now in the music industry?
Yeah.
Because I feel like that happens to a lot of people, especially ones that come from different career paths.
Yeah.
You learn so much.
That detail, and then, dude, just staying organized, which is something that I was always kind of started in college. I was trying to get better at. But the second you get into this stuff, I mean, there's – because you got sports and, again, it works with shows too, but sports, you have so many different fan events that you're doing. Like, you're planning months in advance, and you got to keep all that stuff straight. And so with shows, you're doing the same thing. You're advancing. There's some tours where you'll have three or four shows in a week, and it's like keeping each advance separate, but making sure that you're not missing anything for each one, can be a total pain in the ass sometimes. So
I can imagine,
definitely the detail and organizational, having that organization skill, is something that translated, but
who were some of your favorite artists when you were growing up?
Ooh, that's tough. Dude, honestly, every year we'd go to Kenny Chesney. I love Kenny, and I still would love to go to Kenny Chesney.
You said you went to Kenny Chesney. So was it more of the music, or was it the live show you fell in love with him?
Live show. Definitely live show. Which, I also love going to the beach, so
yeah.
That beach music. Old Dominion, and anybody that knows me knows that I'm still an absolute fanatic of Old Dominion, so shout out those guys. On the rock side, my dad got me into Nickelback, so having that whole tour with the Nickelback guys was insane. To consider them more as peers now than just some stars is crazy.
Tell me what Chad Kroeger's like.
Dude, he is honestly the most down-to-earth dude.
Oh, I can imagine.
The nicest. Like, yeah, you would go into it thinking he's going to be just this like rock star, not give you the time of day, dude. Just walking in the hall, just little conversations. I mean, he's an average dude. Loves that's the. You could definitely tell the dude can party, but no, he's very professional and takes the business very serious. So
yeah, their live show is insane,
unbelievable, dude. And that whole, I mean, their whole crew is the most professional group that I've ever. Again, I have a very small sample size, but yeah, unreal crew. Another one that I was a huge fan growing up was Brantley Gilbert, and he was on that tour. And so it was funny, the first night of tour, we're all sitting outside of the bus, and you could tell there was like everyone's nervous. We'd never done an arena show, and I had just met these people, so I was sitting with a bunch of strangers, and I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? I was in Canada for the first time, so we're just sitting outside our bus, and you just see three dark figures walking across the parking lot, and I was like, oh shit. And Brantley wanted to come over and just say, hey, he didn't talk about the show one bit, just wanted to talk about who we were and what their road life is like. And dude, from then on, I went up to him the next day. I'm like, one, dude, I've spent I don't know how many hundreds of dollars on concerts of yours growing up. So that was the coolest shit that I've ever experienced. And then two, I just thanked him for coming over, and just you could tell the tension in the room was gone after he came over. I was like, dude, you're here because you're meant to be here. So yeah, dude, I know I'm leaving out some people that I've definitely looked up to, but yeah, dude. There's tons of them. But then getting to go on the road and work alongside them is unbelievable. To see them as people and not the guy on stage is such cool.
That's such a
cool experience.
It's something that's been cool for me too, because I've gotten to like work around a lot of people that I grew up being like that would be so crazy to meet them. Or
yeah,
like you just idolize them a little bit. Like you're growing up because you don't know better. Like I never thought I was gonna be in the music industry. As a kid. But I grew up on like George Strait. My mom was a lot like girl country, Shania, Reba, and then like the Carpenters and that type of music.
Yeah.
And then my dad was the dad rock, like the Three Doors Down, Kid Rock, Nickelback, Daughtry, Creed.
Yeah.
But it's cool now as I get older seeing the like crossover.
Oh, yeah.
Like I never thought that I was going to have any involvement ever with Nickelback. But then to like be able to know people in their camp and their management teams, it's just, it's like, it's crazy to me.
It's like, holy shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this week I was, went back home, was having dinner with my mom, and I was getting put into a production, or had an invite for a production call with like Breaking Benjamin, Staind, and Daughtry. And she goes, what the, like, do you ever think that this was, I'm like, I'd never even thought I'd work in music. But, yeah, for people that I've listened to since I was a little kid to get to talk to those guys and then eventually get to work with them here in the next week. It's mind blowing.
That's why it's hard to,
you got to pinch yourself sometimes.
Yeah. It's hard to believe it's a job.
Yeah.
Like we get paid to be around people that we looked up to growing up.
Yeah. Oh dude, I love going home. Cause you see some of your friends and I mean, my friends all have the coolest jobs, but they're like, dude, you are just like living out everyone's dream. And again, you get caught up in it and you kind of forget how cool it is and how blessed we are to get to do this as a job. But dude, it's cool. Yeah. You definitely still get those pinch me moments, which I think the time that stopped, maybe that'll be when I come off the road is when I stop having those pinch me moments when I'm not appreciating it, but
probably not.
Yeah. I think it's going to keep, yeah. I'm a very sentimental person. So yeah, they just keep coming. So, it's fun.
So I had this question earlier today and I meant to ask somebody, so it works out perfectly.
Yeah.
So, I saw somebody today that was looking for a front of house job, and I have some friends that do that here locally, and they've done it for some other artists, but they haven't done it on like a huge scale. And the person that was looking to do, they're gonna be doing stadiums, amphitheaters, and arenas.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent it to somebody, and they were like, "Well, I don't know what the difference is. Like, for me, what is the difference?" Well, me being him. Like, what is the difference for running sound or doing anything at a stadium show versus like a club that everyone kind of is used to?
Yeah, and honestly, I think, again, because I don't have the ear for audio and stuff like that. But
like even just tour management, like, is there a difference in like venue size, I guess?
Yes, I would say. So before I went on the Nickelback tour, I thought I was like a professional person. Like, I thought, people would take me serious. Like, I came off of that, and like, so I was with Lakeview before, left for a little while, and now they've seen me. It's been like a year and a half. Finally came back, and they're like, "You're a completely different person." It's like, but I feel like you need to have those experiences to actually have that growth and mature. So when it comes to like something with front of house, how it varies based off of, am I good enough to mix sound for a stadium? I would assume that as long as you know what sound they're looking for, I'd say you could do it. It's knowing how to work with other people on a tour like that. So if it's a major tour, it's like, are you good with, channeling it or funneling everything through the production team of the headliner for them to get the information across? So, which I don't know if they have a production manager or anything like that, that would help them. But, yeah, man, I think it's one of those things. Again, you got to just do it to see if you're capable of it. And if this person that you think might be good for the job is willing to learn, I think that they might have that learning curve at the start, that have those growing pains. But I mean, I was lucky that Josh's camp took a chance on me and was like, threw me out there and let me learn from him. So I think anybody that is wondering if they are capable of something like that, I don't think you'd be in the conversation if you weren't.
Yeah.
Like Brantley says, you're here because you're meant to be here. So I think, yeah, I'd say just give it your shot, and if it doesn't work, again, that's a lesson learned. Again, it's not a failure as long as you learn something from it. So, front of house is a whole nother world, so I'm not sure, but.
That leads into another question as far as the getting into touring and whatnot. So I had this younger girl, college girl, reach out to me via LinkedIn, wanting to grab coffee and kind of learn about the artist development side of things, but she was an intern here in Nashville over the summer.
Okay.
And just went back to college.
Okay.
And she was texting me, asking me a bunch of questions, and her internship was marketing, but she's in love with the development side of things, but her end goal is to be a tour manager. So like, she was asking me how to get involved in that. So all I knew was to be like, I guess go reach out to other tour managers. So I sent her a couple people.
Yeah.
If I tell her to listen to this, like, what's your best advice to her and to everybody else that thinks the same way as her that just wants to get into tour management but have no idea how?
No idea how to do it. Again, I'd say just like how I did it with doing merch and driving is just no job is too small. Obviously, I mean, I never went into the merch stuff thinking, oh, I want to be a merch manager. Even doing it, like, there's times it's fun, but I'm like, this isn't what I ultimately want to do. But just being out on the road, again, people start recognizing your name, recognizing your face, and then learn from the TM that is on that tour with you. And I actually, one of the gigs I had reached out about, or I got offered to do merch for David Nail, and I was geared up for it, had the talk with them, was good to go, and their production manager was like, I don't want a TM anymore. He goes, we'll change your pay if you will TM as well. So it was like a TM gig came out of a merch offer. So, yeah, man, I would just say just keep no job's too small and keep saying yes. That's the biggest thing. Say yes, 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 especially trying to get into it. Once you've had experience and you know what you want, like, for instance, you went out there and you know what you want, is then you can start being picky. You can say no and turn down certain things. Look for the fit that's perfect for you. But if you're just trying to get into it and figure it out, I'd say start from the bottom and work your way up. Not that merch is the bottom, not that driving's the bottom. But again, that's a gig that you can learn pretty quick and you can kind of just move from there. But yeah, dude, just say yes to everything. Be a yes man.
What are some of the main things that you learned getting into tour management? And even like when you took your first job and you were doing merch, like what are some things that people told you like in the future that you wish you knew when you started?
Dude, I think it's just, well, one thing that's definitely rings true is on your way, be nice to everybody on your way up because you're going to see them again on your way down. And so, dude, I treat going to every show, doesn't matter, the venue doesn't matter. If you have an opener that's opening for you, treat everybody like they are the key to your next gig because God knows when this gig that you're with is gonna run out or you're going to be looking to that person's going to move up eventually. Mm-hmm. So yeah, be good to everybody on your way up because you want them to be the same on your way down. And then again, I just can't say it enough that saying yes to even you're not big enough for any gig, so or too big for any gig. So again, yeah, if you want to get into it, just be a good person because word travels. Everything in this business is who you know. Be a good person and bust your ass and always ask how you can help. I mean, that's something I even do going into the Nickelback stuff. I mean, we'd get in there and they'd be like, hey, do you guys have everything you need? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. But is there anything we can do? Can I carry a box for you? Can I go give another green room some ice? Like, is there anything I can do? So always be willing to help because people notice that and then they tend to take care of you as well.
So earlier you had mentioned that you were going to every writer's round and you were going to Live Oak and just trying to go up to artists and artist managers and as many people as you could that you recognized.
Mm-hmm.
What was your process for that?
Typically, to get some of the nerves off, I usually get in there early and get a shot or two in me, you know, get some liquid courage. But I mean, there's tons of artists, and I'm sure if any of them listen, they'll remember our meeting. But just go up and be like, hey, just so you know, I'm a huge fan of your – I usually wait till they're buying a drink. I'd be like, hey, this round's on me. I just want to tell you, huge fan of music. And especially if you're at a round, a lot of it's up-and-coming artists.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you know their music is usually mind-blowing to them, and then they want to talk to you, figure out how you learned it. But, yeah, just kind of go up and tell them how you know them. Tell them your background, what you want to do. And a lot of times people are willing to listen because just like in the business side of music, it's the same in the artist side where everyone started off at the bottom and is trying to find their way up. Yeah. So they do the exact same thing. They see artists that they like and they try to work their way up too. So yeah, just don't be afraid to talk to people. And again, you're going to meet some people that are going to kind of blow you off or you're going to catch them at a bad time. And don't take anything personal because if you're at a round or anywhere in Nashville, there's tons of other people in the room that can help you with your next step. So
how did you recognize some of these people? Were you looking at were you listening to podcasts and like looking them up on Instagram? Or?
If I listened, typically, so I had a long, playlist on Spotify, thousands of songs on it, and then I listen to my Discover Weekly every Monday, and it sends you new artists or stuff that they think you'll like, and then I'll add those to my playlist. And if I really like an artist or a song, I'll follow them on Instagram, so then I'll start seeing their face, and yeah. A lot of it's just facial recognition, or if you go to enough rounds, you'll start knowing who people are. And another big one, and it's so funny because right after I talked to or had Fillmore come out to the Browns game, I went to a Muscadine Bloodline concert at 8 Seconds Saloon in Indy, mm-hmm. and went up to look at merch, and Burrell was selling merch for him. And I told him what was going on. He ended up selling me a hat, but he's like, hey, if you ever move to Nashville or if you ever want to talk about any of this stuff, let me know. And gave me his number, followed him on Instagram. And he has been my contact ever since before I even moved here. And it was funny because then he'll come out to like Josh shows or Lakeview, and he's like, dude, full circle. I still need to sell him a hat to like complete it. But yeah, just people like that. And then obviously I go to a round and Matt will be like, hey, do you know who that guy is? You need to meet them. In fact, one of the main people at her label, I didn't know who she was. And I was just sat around the other day, and just because I had just gotten back with Lakeview. And he's like, hey, I think you should meet her. She's with Riser House. And again, made that connection there because of Matt. So surround yourself with the right people. And if you're going to rounds, again, talk to Matt, talk to Nikki T, any of the Raise Rowdy people can definitely help you with those connections. But
they need to be honored with like some sort of award.
Dude, honestly, yeah. You know, how artists get plaques and stuff. Yeah. I think they should have there should be like a Matt Burrell and Nikki T, like,
I agree,
CMT award or something.
Or like some bar needs to have like something dedicated to them.
Yeah.
Because they've made
the scene. They need their own plaque on the wall.
Be honest, they made Live Oak. Live Oak is a great bar, but Raise Rowdy made that bar.
Dude, between them and Ward with Whiskey Jam.
Yeah.
I mean, they are the reason that so many of these, I mean, you see the list of people that have gone through Whiskey Jam and now are winning awards. Every time they do the award show, Whiskey Jam posts how many of them were former Whiskey Jam people. And I think Raise Rowdy could do the exact same thing. So,
it's been
cool to see.
My story is very similar to yours in a sense of like doing the going out to not to get drunk. Like, I'm not going out to like party. I'm right. going out to like sit there and just like scout pretty much. Yeah. I'm just like watching people watching and seeing what faces I recognize. And it's like, for me, that was social media, Instagram. And I was listening to Matt Burrell's podcast in the round. And at the time he was doing a lot of artists, but he would sprinkle in.
He just switched it to outside.
Yeah.
Right? And then now he can, he has more.
Yeah. So now he can go like outside music and do like comedians and athletes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But back then he was doing mostly artists, but would sprinkle in business people. And I would listen to those podcasts and I would like look them up and remember faces, and I would remember things from the podcast that they said. And then that way, when I was at Live Oak, like, I know, okay, they go to Live Oak often, and I would go and I would wait and just wait for them to come in, and I would find the right time to go up and talk to them.
Yeah.
There were a lot of times I got blown off where people were like, that is extremely weird. Like, there were artists. I've done that to a few artists that did the, I'll follow you on Instagram. And then like, as soon as you leave, they unfollow you because they felt bad.
It was just, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, it's going to happen. But again, I would say that's just practice.
Yeah.
You've gotten out of the way, the awkwardness of going up and talking to someone you don't know. And you'll be ready for the next one. But I would say, because I mean, that's happened to me too, but I would say more times than not, you're going to have the ones that want to sit down and talk about it. Mm-hmm. Especially, again, these are up and coming people that are literally in your shoes or have just recently been in your shoes. So, dude, it's all about timing too. If they're in a big group of people, maybe give them a second. That's why I'd always wait till they'd go get a drink. But, I still do that. Now it's more so I'll go up and just tell people like I'm a huge fan of your music. Cause I think that's a big thing that everybody should be doing. If you like a song, you need to tell that person.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like there's so much negativity that goes around. But,
I met Burrell cause I was listening to his podcast, followed him on Instagram. And then it was like my second time in Nashville. And I went there to Live Oak and saw him. He was outside smoking a cig.
Yep.
And I was like, are you Matt Burrell? He's like, yeah. And like shook my hand.
And you heard the voice and you're like, yep.
And I was Matt. And I was like, I dude, Matt. I love your podcast.
Yeah.
And I just kind of told him my story. And, you know, we connected on social media. And then Nikki T, I reached out to him and was just like, you know, I want to be involved.
Yeah.
So we met up at Live Oak again at a round. Oh, and he was just like, yeah, dude, just start writing articles for us. And then it's just ever since then, it was like I had no idea how to write articles. I mean, I was writing like just BS in an entire article, and I would send it to him for approval, and he would send back edits. And it was just like, it got to a point where then I was just writing decent articles.
Yeah.
And that's how I was making connections with artists.
Damn.
And
yeah.
From there, it was like, then I started managing artists. Yeah. And then it just, like, it all grew. And I owe every single thing to the Raised Rowdy crew.
To those boys.
Yeah. Like, they have, and they've, like, I say that, like, I'm not the only one that's happened to.
Dude, no.
It's like everybody. I've had so many people on this podcast that sat right there.
I owe
and
so
like,
much to, yeah, yes. Matt. And then you meet Nikki from Matt, because Matt was just always out on the road. Exactly. So it was so easy. But, no, that's, I mean, so again, for people that you go up to and they don't give you, they kind of blow you off. I mean, there's times where I'm out and I'm like, I don't want to talk to people. But, you have people like Matt come up, or Matt that help you get through it, and you're like, holy shit, like, I want to be like Matt. I want to be somebody that helps people in my shoes. So I've gone out a couple times with different people that either want to get into do TM or merch or anything like that. And I'll always take the time. Usually I'm on the road now, but when I'm home, I'll always take the time to, once we post this, if you want to tag me in it, anybody that wants to reach out would love to help any way that I can help, whether it be advice or trying to pass you along to the right people. But yeah, dude, people like Matt and Nikki T kind of keep this town going.
100%. And so on Sunday night, I went to Riley's new bar,
mm-hmm.
and then I went to...
How's that? Is it cool?
Dude, it's sick.
Honestly, didn't realize that that's what it was going to... I knew that he was having a bar in town. I didn't realize it was where...
It's without a doubt the nicest bar in town. To be,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's so nice.
I mean, it's like twice the size of what it used to be.
Yeah, so they have like... Have you been in there?
Uh-uh. So, I saw a picture, or I think it was posted on...
Yeah, so like
Instagram today.
If you go, they have the main like winner's entrance. A lot of it looks the exact same.
Yeah.
So when you walk in that like outside deck, like you walk up, you kind of just walk up that ramp, and there's what used to be the patio,
mm-hmm.
is now like an inside thing.
Yeah.
With TVs, and it's super nice. Bunch of tables, and then you still have that little walkway that goes inside where the stage is. And okay. Everything is pretty much still the same. It just decorated different and a little, obviously, cleaner,
yeah.
and more modern.
Is there an upstairs to it, too?
Yeah. So then right where you would go up to the patio, that is now completely enclosed.
Yeah.
And that's super nice. It has, like, 15, 16 massive TVs.
Yeah.
Like, every Sunday and Saturday, I'm going to be there watching football.
Hell yeah, dude.
It's so nice.
Dude, the one next to it, Odie's, Old Dominion's, putting in a bar next to it too, or two down, wherever Rebar used to be.
Yeah,
I'm waiting on that one to open, man. I'm convinced that I think the Old Dominion dudes are building it themselves by hand. I think they just, when they come off the road, they got like 2 days, they go out there with their hammers and things taking forever. But yeah, dude, it's sick. I was bummed when Live Oak went, and then I was a huge Doghouse fan because Cleveland Browns bar for a while there. But I was kind of bummed that it felt like that stretch was about to start dying off. But
mm-hmm.
looks like they're making the other side even better. So
yeah,
it's going to be sweet, dude. Looking forward to it.
But yeah, so on Sunday, I went to Riley's bar and Losers, where Rowdy on the Road was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And Nikki T was in Canada, but Baril was there. And he introduced me to the guy that was selling merch for Raised Rowdy. It was someone I had never seen before.
Mitchell?
I don't remember his name, to be honest. I hope he doesn't listen to this, but I don't remember his name.
It was just like 2 days ago or yesterday.
Yeah. Yes. Or that's Sunday.
So that's Mitchell. I met him again. He was one that moved to town, wanted to get into music, met him, and I had him sell merch for us at the Nashville show for Lakeview. And
he told me that
he absolutely crushed it.
Yeah.
So then I saw that Raised Rowdy post and I sent it to him, and he's like, I sent it to him, and I texted Matt. I'm like, hey Matt, this dude can sell, like, give him a chance. And he's like, dude, I got the gig.
He introduced me and was like,
great kid,
this kid is like just like you. Like, we're trying to get him involved and like trying mm-hmm. to give him opportunities, and he just wants to like get in the music business. Because I asked him, I was like, what do you want to do? And he was like, I just want to be in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah,
shit.
he doesn't know yet. And I love it. I said, dude, start with merch. And he came out, he had never, I'm like, have you done at Vinny? He goes, I have no idea what any of this is. And I was like, dude, it's super easy, like, call me if you have any issues. And dude, crushed it.
Yeah,
crushed it. So
I love kids like that.
Yeah,
like that are just, they're willing to do anything. Because I remember when I first moved to town, like, I was selling merch with Raised Rowdy,
mm-hmm.
and like I was wanting these opportunities. I was eating it up.
Yeah.
And then like opportunities started rising. I was just meeting people.
Yeah.
And it's awesome,
dude. Yeah, because it's funny, because when I first met him the other night, he was I'm like, have you, he's like, I've been going to rounds and stuff. I'm like, do you know Beryl? He's like, yeah, dude, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow him and DM him. Do you think that's weird? I'm like, dude, just do it. I said, tell him that Wyatt sent you. And he was so excited. But yeah, that's so crazy that you bring that up. Cause yeah, I saw that post. I'm like, dude, you got to do this. You got to do this. And jumped right on it.
Yeah, dude. It's one of those things. Like, I'm really excited.
Yeah.
To like I'm never going to forget that moment, mm-hmm. because within a year, 2 years, he's going to be doing something big.
He'll be on here talking about some big ass tour he just got off of.
Yeah, TMing an A-lister.
He's
going
to be hard to get a hold of. Yeah. No, he's sick. Yeah, he's a good dude. Yeah, Mitchell Bailey.
Yeah, great people dude. Hungry like that. Like, that's, if I could give any advice, it's like, come hungry.
Yeah.
Like, once don't get comfortable.
Which I could tell the first, yeah, he's like, dude, I'll do anything. I'm like, yes. Yeah, this kid's got it.
Because it wasn't like, I asked him, like, what do you want to do? And to be honest, I don't know what kind of answer I was expecting. I didn't know if he was going to say publishing or artist management.
That's such a loaded question. Yeah, what do you want to do?
And he's like, I just want to be in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, you do.
Dude, and he didn't hesitate. And he didn't hesitate when I asked him to do Lakeview stuff. And then, yeah, yesterday, it was immediately, he's like, all right, I put in for it. Hopefully I get it. And I was like, Matt, you got to do this. Yeah. And I never heard from Matt. So maybe Matt even already had him. But, yeah, that's so sick. He was so excited. He's a good dude. Yeah, so people like that, I'd say anybody that's moving to town, reach out, Raise Rowdy dudes. Raise Rowdy, reach out to me, anybody. Let's talk about it, see what would be a good avenue for you, and let's get more people like that in here, because I think Nashville's only getting bigger and bigger, so we're going to need more people like that.
My last question is, Nashville's in itself, the city, I was on the phone with someone on the way here, and we were kind of talking about Nashville and how I guess maybe toxic is the right word, but like the music industry can be a lot. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pressure, a lot of stress. Like, there's just a lot of parts moving at one time, and Nashville can be a super toxic city. So it's good to get out of the city, mm-hmm. or find something, like find outlets that kind of keep your mental health in check.
Yeah.
So it's the same for the road, because being gone from your comfort, your home, and just being away and like, mm-hmm. always doing something new and waking up and not even knowing where you are sometimes.
Yeah.
So how do you keep your mental health in check?
Dude, I'll tell you what, I didn't for probably the last year and a half or so. I didn't really take the mental game into it. Never really understood like mental health or like anything like that, but definitely kind of caught myself getting caught up in everything back in May. And that's actually when I decided, I talked to some family. They're like, dude, you're not really acting like yourself. It was like brain fog. I'd have conversations and I'd call them and be like, I have no idea what the hell we just talked about. And I was like, man, I think I need a break. So I talked to management. I just came off the road, and that's when Brennan actually took over. And he's obviously taking the reins and run with it, which is sick. But dude, being out on the road and not even being out on the road, just this business in itself, like you're comparing yourself to, I mean, managers and TMs are comparing themselves to other TMs, and artists are doing that to other artists. So, dude, I just staying grounded can definitely be a struggle, but I think you surround yourself with the right people, and not being afraid to talk about it, which now I'd say if anybody's having issues or doubts or anything like that, phone's always open or phone's always on. Would love to talk about it. Cause I was struggling with it, and I didn't realize how many people deal with that kind of stuff until I came off the road. The second I came off, the amount of TMs and other people in the industry that reach out and they're like, dude, you know, we all go through this. We just don't talk about it, which I think is something that should be talked about a lot more. Yeah, dude, I think just surrounding yourself, having a good support system, people that you know you can talk to about it. And then again, finding stuff outside of music. That's a way to get away from it. I like working out. I like being outside. When it's summer, I like going to the pool, just hanging out. Sports or NFL is coming back, so I love watching sports. So that's a good distraction. But no, I think it's just knowing that. And someone from Universal told me this when I came off the road. Is like, hey, we're selling records, not saving the world. So it's really not that deep. So yes. Don't take it that deep.
Dude,
so
that's something that I've had to learn, where it's like, you can get so wrapped up in everything that's going on. Yeah. When the pressure's on, you're like, it's make or break.
Yeah.
Like if I don't do this, like the world's over. And that's so far from
the
truth.
It's so not true. Yeah.
And I always, I'm quite like, some people may not agree with this, but like, because I don't know where everybody stands as far as like faith.
Uh-huh.
But to me, I had to focus on, like, you don't bring that stuff with you to heaven.
Yeah.
Like, for me, like, at the end of the day, none of this stuff matters.
Yeah.
It's family, your mental health, taking care of yourself.
Exactly.
And it's like, this shit could change in an instant.
Yeah.
You could get fired. The music industry could change. You could end up hating it. But, like, family and friends and just taking care of yourself, like, that stuff lasts forever.
Dude, the second you're gone, your position's going to be filled.
Exactly.
Immediately. And it's like, that's cool. That's the nature of the beast. But, again, it's the family and who you are. I don't want to be known for, you know, the tours I've gone. I'd rather be known for, like, oh, he was a good dude when he came in. He
exactly.
cleaned up after himself. Like, he was a good hang.
That's so much. He took care of people.
Yeah.
Like, he was
always reaching out a helping hand. It's like, yeah. Yeah, you don't. The records on the wall, the plaque, that kind of stuff does not matter. At the end of the day, it does not matter. So, I didn't realize how many people go through the mental side of things, having never experienced it before. But definitely after this year, that was the most eye-opening thing. And sometimes you do need to take a break, take a step back, take a breath, because honestly, I think who I was as a TM or just working in this industry before my little coming off the road, taking a break, and who I am going on to this next tour, I'm like, I'll take this dude 10 times out of 10 mm-hmm. than I was, you know, in the
thick
of
things. And that's just going through it and yep. bettering yourself as a person.
100%.
You know, it's all God's plan for you. So.
Exactly. Yeah. But don't be afraid to talk about it. That's
100%.
That's one thing. I think guys especially are so bad about that. Yeah. So
we're afraid to be emotional,
dude, no
and
kid.
Have feelings.
No kid. Until it bottles up.
Yeah.
Then it's like, shit. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Give me a break and a beer. But no, it's all good. There's definitely a lot of perks to this job. So I think anybody that wants to get into it should get into it and make it happen, man. Because there's so many benefits that people don't know that typical jobs can't give you. So it's a good time, man. We're having fun.
I appreciate you coming on,
dude. Thanks for having me.
We'll have to have you on down the road and
absolutely
see what you're up to next.
Hopefully I can have some of the people that I help out along the way come out here. And
dude, that would be sweet.
That's going to be sweet.
Yeah. You'll probably hear your name dropped.
Like, that'd be cool, dude. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. Be known for stuff like that. So
100%.
Be cool.
So appreciate you, dude.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Well, thank you all for listening to another episode of Behind the Music Biz, a Raised Rowdy podcast. Thanks to our guest, Wyatt Carmichael. And we'll see y'all next episode.